Welcome back to Strength Talk with Kings of Fitness. Today's show, we're talking about accountability in the gym and the barbell coach. Two things that are going to be real important going forward for you guys to know. So get ready. Here we go. Hey, guys. Kyle King here. I'm sitting across from the lovely Lauren King, my lovely wife.
Hi, guys.
We're back. She sounds so enthusiastic with that one. But, yeah, here we are on another evening after a long day at work, but we want to get some information out to you guys. So, again, this episode we're going to talk about accountability in the gym and then being the barbell coach and having the barbell coach a part of your sport programming. So, first and foremost, current training programs. What are we up to?
We are, our focus is actually Olympic lifting. And yeah. We have the great pleasure of working with Steve Swistak, who was actually part of the U.S. Olympic team.
Yeah.
So we are learning our technique and learning how to Olympic lift from...
the man himself.
Exactly. Someone who truly knows what he is talking about, knows what he's doing, still continues to practice himself and still competes in what, local competitions now?
Right? Yep, local competitions, yeah. CrossFit competitions, all that fun stuff. And like Lauren said, it's really special for us because we spent so many years in the books learning these Olympic lifts and seeing them and then watching videos on the Olympic lifts. So it's really nice to turn it over and get some practical experience sitting in front of Coach Swistak and really getting it going.
Yeah.
It's really cool because we just switched off. We were about a month ago. We went through a good 4-week period using like Jim Wendler's 5-3-1. Mm-hmm. Which was fantastic. We saw tremendous strength gains from that. And even before that, we were using the Texas method, a little 5x5 action, where, again, more programs that we see a lot of growth. Now, Lauren and I program hot from time to time, not saying that's the best idea to do, but depending on what your goals are and your focus is, you should really figure out what you're going to be doing. Like, even now, we have Steve Swistak, who gives us great advice and great coaching tips to get better at the Olympic lifting. Great book out there, Greg Everett. He's written the Olympic lifting book. So here's a book out there that the professionals have written for us. You can go through it, and I mean, there's a myriad of programs out in the back of that book that you could check out and see what works for you, kind of thing. So we're sitting back and we're hitting these Olympic lifts. And what's really cool with the Olympic lifts is not everybody wants to do them. They look really cool. And not everybody wants to do them. A lot of our clients they see our videos. They see Lauren snatching and cleaning and jerking. And they're like, that looks a little too aggressive for me. And they sit back and I say,
like, component. They're scared. They're nervous. It's something they've never done before. And it's a difficult movement, but... yeah.
You learn it.
You break it down. You learn the technique of it. And
I'll say, going for us, and that's Kalel joining in on the podcast, one of my older dogs. With his little, he comes to the table and gives a little, let us know that he's listening in. But the Olympic lifts, back to that, it really, when you get into it, and as I got into it, and my range of motion, so let's say my hip function or my shoulder function may not have been where I needed it to be proficient with the Olympic lifting. So I'll sit back and I'm sitting back and I'm like, all right, here we go with the snatch and I can't lock my arms out. I have a lack of range of motion in my shoulders, or I can't squat deep enough. So I'm seeing a lack of range of motion in my hips. And I'm saying these are things I didn't see in normal lifting. I was squatting thinking I was squatting deep, but apparently I wasn't. I was shoulder pressing thinking I was doing it correctly, which again, at the time, yes, I was. But for these movements,
for the purposes of the Olympic lifts,
yeah, there's a whole new range of motion that I've opened up to.
Yes.
And I mean, the Supple Leopard book, Kelly Start, yeah. Dr. Kelly Start, he's written this book, The Supple Leopard. I read this back in November, maybe even October timeframe. Absolutely loved it on the recommendation of my chiropractor, Dr. Eric Uksalainen. He said, check this book out. Here is a physical therapist by trade, or a doctor of physical therapy, rather, who really has his ideas of how joints should work and how you can open things up. So if there's a book for you to pick up, I believe it's on the top 10 strength coaches list. Read How to Be a Supple Leopard, Dr. Kelly Starrett. It opens you up, opens up those joints. I've been using it now in my programming for, you know, back since I read it. Once I read it, I loved it. And through grad school, we were looking at some stuff. We were looking at the different physical therapy books. And we'll get a list out. We'll put that out there, probably in that newsletter. That newsletter we just put out today. We had the first newsletter go out today.
That was actually quite exciting.
Yeah, we had the first newsletter go out today. A lot of good
client feedback. They're coming in, letting us know they got the
13 people the newsletter went out to.
All 13?
All 13 got it. All 13 opened it up.
It's the first one.
So, guys, listen up. If you're listening to this podcast, I hope you enjoy Strength Talk. I hope you enjoy us being so candid with you. Tell a friend. Tell a friend to turn on the podcast, listen to us. Tell a friend to sign up for our newsletter. You can find it at our website, www.kofhv.com. Again, the first newsletter went out. Lauren put out her favorite dinner of the week, where we gave out the recipe, where she found that recipe, and how many calories, how much protein it packs, all that fun stuff. And then we also gave a pro tip, our first pro tip, out on the newsletter. So if you want to know what that pro tip is, and I mean it's a good one, I put a picture with it too. It is a good pro tip. So sign up for the newsletter. You'll get pro tips. We're planning on giving out weekly recipes that we like, whether it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, something that's worked for us. And then also we're going to give out some pro tips. So every newsletter is going to have a little different pro tip from us, what we've seen, where we've gone, anything that's been really helpful to us that could be helpful to you as well. And speaking of helpful, again, we have the Olympic lifting program going on. But about 4 weeks ago, Lauren changed up my diet. I lost 21 pounds.
Yeah.
Stepped on the scale this morning. I made Lauren look at it.
It's
took
about
a picture,
time. Put finally, it on Instagram. What, after 4 years?
4 years.
You listen to me?
Yeah, 4 years. And I mean, I enjoy my pizza.
I guess it takes time to click, huh?
Somewhat. I enjoy pizzas. I enjoy brownies. I enjoy cupcakes. I enjoy cakes. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there. There's a lot of stuff I enjoy. But I've cut back on the sugar a little bit.
A lot.
And I even cut back. So even in my cup of coffee. So how many cups of coffee do you think I did?
All right. Kyle's very particular about his coffee. It has to be like two heaping
spoonfuls. It's not two heapings.
Of sugar.
It's two teaspoons.
It has to be stirred to perfection.
No, it has to be stirred.
To the point where anytime I give him coffee, did you stir this?
I have to ask if she stirred it because she's put 2 teaspoons of sugar in my coffee and has not stirred it because she was busy.
It may have happened once.
No, it's happened on multiple occasions.
Whatever.
And because it's happened, I've had
anywho.
Really bitter, I can't even call it bitter, but coffee that has no like actual
make your own sweetness damn coffee. To
it. I do now. Now
well,
I make the
anyways,
coffee.
Anyways, now he has cut back. Yes. So now he's down to what? Half a teaspoon of sugar maybe in that coffee. But, you know, finally really listening to me about eating more than just his 3 massive meals that he was eating during the day.
I feel like I'm eating 6 meals a day now.
Yeah, and smaller
and even the breakfast, the breakfast bowl. I eat this breakfast bowl. From got it from Mike Dolce.
Diet.
Yeah, 3 Weeks to Shredded, another great book I picked up. I mean, even Mike Dolce talks about it in several podcasts and magazine articles. It's nothing outstandingly new that you're going to learn from reading his book. You're just going to see how in 3 weeks he was able to get shredded for a fight. And there he had some great tips on some things that you can do. And I've done that thing, you know. I've been that fighter. I did the Muay Thai thing. I've done the boxing thing where I've lost the weight and I've been quite hungry and angry as a fighter. I think my last Muay Thai fight, and what was that, July of 2012, I think it was.
Was it 2012?
I think it was. It was that long ago.
Damn.
And when I was fighting, I was weighing about 165 pounds. A month ago, I was about 225 pounds. I tipped the scales this morning at a solid 204, 203.
Mm-hmm.
Put the picture up on Instagram, so follow us on Instagram at Kings of Fitness. But really interesting stuff where changing the diet, eating more fiber. I'm eating every 3 hours. Mm-hmm. I'm drinking the water. I'm looking at the foundations of fitness, which we talked about in the last podcast, and trying to apply it to my life to be successful. So here's the thing. I said I'm 225 pounds. I can lift a whole bunch of weight. If I lose weight, am I going to be able to lift as much as I've been lifting? I had a personal best on my clean the other day. I was able to clean 205 pounds. I'm working my way up, trusting the process. And I didn't even... In all honesty, the first attempt, I power cleaned it. I was trying to clean. I didn't trust the process. And I'm telling myself in my head, Steve always says it to me. I relay it to my clients. Trust the process. Trust in the technique that you're learning. And now I sat back and I said, okay, trust yourself. Didn't do it. Power clean 205. Felt great. And I said, you know what? If I can power clean, I can clean it. And then I went right ahead and hit it. So I'm less weight. I'm lifting more.
Well, because you're not starving yourself.
No. Oh, I'm so full all the time. It's
great.
You're
eating good, healthy options. It's not, you're eating very nutrient-dense food.
Oh, I love it. Absolutely love it. And what did we just order? I just ordered something. Oh, Mark Bell.
The slingshot?
The slingshot.
That I can't use?
That you cannot use.
So Mark Bell, I'm shouting you out. Mark, not that you're going to listen to our little podcast.
Not yet, maybe.
But you need to make this thing for women who are quite petite.
So on Instagram, and this is a shout out to Zach Evanescence, the Underground Podcast. We've heard Mark Bell come on his podcast. It's our talk. We read about Mark Bell in his book, right? The Underground Strength Coach. We read about Mark Bell and the strong stuff that Mark Bell does as a strong man. And we sit back. He works with a lot of NFL linemen. Really cool stuff. You can follow him on Instagram if you're interested. You know, if you can't find him somehow, some way, we can tell you how to get there. But he promotes this product called the Slingshot. A lot of people have heard of it. And I'm watching videos of guys doing these massive bench presses, 110, 115% of their max bench press using the Slingshot, which prevents bad form. So if you have shoulder instability problems and you're trying to bench press, here's this item, the Slingshot. I mean, he does other things for the wrists and the knees, but I was really interested in trying out this bench press guy, so I ordered one. Should be here in the next couple days or so. Very excited to put this thing on, but it goes by weight of the lifter. So as I order it, I'm looking, and I said, I think the lowest one was about 140 pounds. So Lauren coming in at 110 pounds, I could put this thing on her, but I don't know how much of a benefit it will be to her.
Well,
so
it's worth a shot.
Mark Bell.
I'll try it out.
Mark Bell, if you're listening, Lauren would like a Slingshot made for 110-pound lady.
Please. Thank you.
So I'm very excited to put this guy on and try to rep out. What's that?
I ran out of room on my lap.
Lauren's sitting here holding two chihuahuas on her lap, and now she's trying to get a third one. But I'm very excited to put this thing on when it comes. I believe it'll be here Friday, if not Friday, Monday, when we hit chest again. I'm going to put the sucker on and try to rep up into the high 300s and see what I can get. Very excited for it, though. So now, again, let's get back to these show notes. We write the show notes so we go off on a tangent real quick.
No, you go off on a tangent.
I'm
going to
go with you
quick.
Go off on a tangent.
All right, anyhow. Let's see. Have we hit everything from the current training program focus?
No.
No, yes, we have.
No, we haven't. Because we're talking right here. So one thing about Olympic lifting, because again, we have a lot of clients who come back and now back to Olympic lifts.
God.
We got
like
a lot of people.
10-minute like
tangent. That's what happens. That happens. You get talking about your life.
Top Chef is on.
Oh, my Lord. Okay. This. That's why we have a DVR. Anyhow. All right. Olympic lifting. You have to be prepared to do it. So, again, like I talked about earlier, ranges of motions. You have to make sure that you have them. Make sure you're being coached by a good coach, somebody who's being really helpful to you.
What the?
Well, yes. We've been visited now. Our tabletop, we have a bar tabletop counter, and our dog has managed to leave Lauren's lap and jump on it, so she left the microphone. Not everybody can do the Olympic lift starting out. It is something I would behoove people. If you're able to do it, add it to the program to some aspect, right?
But it's important to receive proper coaching.
Yes.
It's not something you should just go and add in.
It's not the only way to be explosive.
It's not.
But you should have a coach who understands the lift, understands what looks right and what looks wrong. And I guess we'll get into that when we get towards like the barbell coach. So anyway, showtime, right? Let's talk about accountability.
Okay.
And being accountable in the gym, right? So first steps. We have clients that come in, and we're getting lots of new clients. It's January. They have the resolutions. But we're not getting those clients. Not the people. We don't get people who walk in the door and say, hey, I need to lose 50 pounds. We're getting performance clients. People who come in with an issue. They could run faster than anybody. But through the course of the season, they kind of broke the system down. So they need help getting it back. Muscle imbalances type of stuff. We get the clients who walk through the door and are saying, we need a training program and we need it now. Kings of Fitness, give it to us. So Lauren and I sit back and we start doing our movement assessments. We're trying to find out what's going wrong with this athlete, what's going on in the system. But at the same time, we do get clients who want to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to put it all together. It's not just performance. Performance is where I go off of. I'm like, you got to be a better athlete. Everybody's an athlete, and you got to be a better athlete to be better at life. Now, we choose a training program for you, and so often I watch people not follow the program. They jump all over the place. They start adding weights where they're not supposed to add weights. They start plateauing like crazy. They get away from one rep maxes, or it would be more like, because we do 5 rep maxes and 3 rep maxes, and then we extrapolate out to get 1 rep maxes. So we do all this stuff. We do all this mathematics. We do all these equations. We try to get the program set up, and we have these people maybe 2-3 times a day. Our clients are two times a week.
A week.
So our programs, as we run them, sometimes they're 4 days a week. Sometimes they're three times a week. And then other times we might have a client who comes 2 times a week, so they have to get like a day on their own. And we give it to them. We say, hey, go here. You know, do this. You know, you pay for the coaching. We try to give you eyes on. And then at the same time, they don't follow the plan. They paid all this money for the plan, and then they don't follow the plan. Whether it's nutrition-wise, exercise-wise, they kind of do their own thing. I'm like, don't throw away your money.
That's true.
What's the purpose? If I'm giving you a plan, and I mean, like, here I am as a coach, right? And I say it every podcast, so you're not going to hear anything different. We are the white belts. We are always learning. I'm always seeing something new from great people all the time. And I add it into the programs if it's effective for my clients. So I'm using science. You know, it's prescribed training routines, prescribed nutrition. We're doing some stuff to produce specific results.
Yes.
So guess what? When you don't do it,
you're not going to get the results.
And I know.
It's not exactly. So it's the same thing with even nutrition. When you're recommending you're giving out nutrition advice. You're giving them ideas on what they should be consuming throughout the day. And yet they're not dropping the weight that they should be dropping.
Cuz they're not eating how you told them to eat.
So that, and then when you come in and tell me, oh, I had this, but it was just one, and then that one turns into two, and you're telling me this every single time I see you, how closely do you think you're really following the nutritional guidance that I'm giving you?
But this goes back, and I can take it, I put it on myself, where I don't follow. Lauren just caught me today. I bought some fudge stripe cookies.
Oh,
don't go off on a tangent. Don't go off on a tangent.
I'm not. Let me tell you really quick
I found them. I didn't eat them.
He was hiding them.
I wasn't hiding them.
You were.
The elf on the shelf was hiding them.
Yeah, okay. We don't have one. Anywho, I found them in the bathroom on top of the towel rack.
So I bought some fudge stripe cookies. They're not in my meal plan that Lauren has given me. But, you know, you fall off. It's not even falling off. I always say, treat yourself, don't cheat yourself kind of mentality for me. I'm sitting back and
there's plenty of healthy treats.
There are many healthy treats, and I'm just saying I went shopping alone, and in the aisle they had a sale, and that sale.
Those end caps get you every time.
End caps get me every time. My eyes wander. I saw the end caps, and I said, I haven't had a fudge stripe since it feels like 2007. Maybe today is the day I'd like to try one. Anyhow, these things came home. It's not the end of the world, and that's what I want to say. It's like I follow the guidance plan, but it's specific to how I want to look. It's specific to how I want to perform.
It should be.
Yeah.
What you're eating is not going to be the same as what many of your clients are eating.
But still, I lost 21 pounds in 4 weeks.
Yes, because it's tailored to your needs.
And I'm active. I can't lie. I'm active, but I'm not like crazy. Yeah, I work out 4 times, 5 times a week. I have a good 2 hour lift on Sundays, and for the most part, it's I'm not doing anything crazy. I'm trying to be a better Olympic lifter. So right now, the program, like we talked about earlier, the program is specified to Olympic lifting. So I can't say I work out more than an hour on training aspects outside of that, you know, and then I rehab. You know, I spend some time with my foam roller and my lacrosse balls 2 times a week to the chiropractor, and I eat the fiber, that kind of stuff. So again, the cookie thing, don't think I'm eating cookies every night. That's not how it actually works out. I wish it could be that way, and eventually I will get to those fudge stripes, but basically that's going to sit in the closet until I can get to it, until I can have 3 cookies, you know, 2 cookies, whatever that serving size is. I'll probably double it, but that's the thing. I'm honest with myself, and that's all we ask of our clients. And anybody out there listening, when you work with a fitness professional, be honest, because we know.
Exactly.
When you're not honest with yourself, exactly. You're lying to yourself. Why even do it? But everybody comes around. Everybody has that epiphany. Everyone, you know, it takes time.
Sooner or later.
You'll have that epiphany and you'll say, I'm spending all this money. Why didn't I reach my goal sooner?
Well, think about it. For most people, they're coming to us, 2-3 times a week and seriously busting their ass while they're with us.
No choice but to bust your ass when you're with us.
So it's a shame to let that...
I'll tell you. And I mean, if your goal is to drop some weight, that's one thing. But the second thing is, you come to us, you're going to be a better performer.
Well, yeah.
I don't care. Because we see people get moving, and I love it. I absolutely love it. And they look at us, and they're like, oh, we got to do burpees, or we got to do tire pulls, or sled pushes.
Yeah, but they say it all like they love it, and I know they do. Otherwise, they wouldn't keep coming back.
I'm pretty sure they don't love it. And I think they come back because they don't know what's in their plan.
It's not that they love it at the moment that they're doing it. I think they love how they feel afterwards, knowing what they accomplished.
Oh, yes. The accomplishment factor is huge. And I mean, we always feel it. So my thing for the accountability, and to wrap up this portion of it, the accountability thing, I would say plan some weekly goals.
Yeah.
Make
small,
them realistic.
Attainable goals.
Yeah. And hit them. Like 2 pounds is not unreasonable
in
a week.
It's not. But it doesn't even have to be so much about the weight. It can be something as simple as making sure you're hitting how much water you should be drinking in the day.
This is a sports psychologist in Lauren. She's going to tell us now that we should be making performance goals rather than actual, numerical goals. You don't want to do any of the number stuff.
It's not that you don't want to, but that shouldn't be your main focus.
Yes.
Because if you're doing all the other components, guess what? You're going to lose the weight anyhow.
And this is why I will be paying back her graduate degree.
Hey.
Because she's that smart.
Well,
I think you went into it that smart, though. That's right. Go ahead and blush.
I'm not.
I'm still.
But
we're still honeymooning. She's still blushing.
Okay.
On that note, let's take a break real quick.
Okay.
We'll gather our thoughts, and when we come back, you'll hear all about the barbell coach, mm-hmm. which that's what we are. We are the barbell coach. See you in a second. You're listening to Strength Talk with Kyle and Lauren King of Kings of Fitness. Make sure to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see the latest and greatest things that are happening. All right, guys, welcome back. So if you stay with us this long, you've already heard us talk about accountability, and you heard us talk about our current training programs and some other things. So we're about 24 minutes into this bad boy. And if you're still listening,
thank you.
We got your ears.
You're bearing with us.
And if you're bearing with us, I need you to get a friend to listen to this podcast, sign up for our newsletter. We're trying to get raw information out there for
throw
free.
Throw a party. Have us playing in your background. No big deal.
Well, that's a little bit much. I would say if you're going for a car ride or you're hanging out in the gym and you want
going
to hear some
for a
good
car
information.
Ride. My car rides have no longer turned into an opportunity for me to listen to music.
It is us listening
it
to professionals.
It is now nothing but podcasts.
I'm saying, do you want to listen to the same music over and over again?
They
play that stuff all the time.
I do enjoy the podcast. I do learn.
Might as well learn something while
them.
You're out there. It's a seminar in a car ride.
This
is what
is
it
true.
Is.
And I will say those barbell shrug guys are pretty entertaining. Very, very informative.
Well, I'm hoping we're as informative and entertaining, because that's the goal.
We'll get there.
The goal is to be informative and entertaining, also let you guys know the raw information of fitness. So this is where we're going to tell you to reach out, right? Let me move some show notes around. But you guys got to really, really, if you have questions, email us, especially fitness questions, email us. We are, and here we go, getting into it. We are barbell coaches, you know. We are strength coaches. We want to teach you guys what having true strength means and bring it to the area that we're in, number one. But worldwide, everybody should know exactly what you're getting into when you go into a gym. And we've read about it, and I've seen it personally going around. You know, I've been around the world, and I've seen how other gyms operate, how people work out. I've had the fortunate opportunities to travel and do this stuff. And then even now, with the information the way it is, you can pick up a book. I pick up a book over a magazine, and then also make sure that you're listening. There's just such a wealth of information out there. The names that we throw out in these podcasts, we throw them out there because they're the people we follow. They help us formulate stuff, and you can learn something every day if you listen to these people. So don't be stuck in the rut. I'm so worried about people being stuck in the rut because we watched it. Lauren and I worked in the large chain gym for years and watched people go through the same stuff over and over. And as the people we personally worked with transformed and changed their bodies, I'm not saying nobody transforms, and not that you need like the help of an expert or a trainer or anything, but Here are the cold hard facts. I would go out on a limb now, from the years I spent in that gym, and say 85 to 90% of the people that walked in there with a chance to change their life never did. And they went there and it became social hour. And that is what this podcast does not want you to do. We want you to go out there and make changes in your life, be the person you want to be, and be as fit as you possibly can be, because that's what this is about. And the information doesn't have to cost you a dime.
No.
Press play, and we'll give it to you. Ask us the questions. We'll give it to you. I get people sending me messages. Funny thing today, and last tangent before we get to being barbell coaches. I got messages today. People in the community here in Poughkeepsie asking, you know, they sent me video. And they said, how's this deadlift looked? You know, and I said, and I wrote back. I watched the deadlift, and I write back, and I said, you know, I gave my tips, what I'm thinking about. But again, it's all performance based. It's what are you looking to do? And here's how I do my deadlift. This is why I do my deadlift. This is what your deadlift looks like. And that's what happens. I'm willing, and Lauren is willing, to give it away because we want you to be better. And if you need eyes on, yeah, we got to charge you a little bit of money because we got to keep the lights on too. But at this point in time, in this juncture of everything that we're doing, we're happy just to let you know what's going on. So email us the questions. And in the show notes, we're going to put it down our phone number and really get at you. Because you guys can call us too. We have the Kings of Fitness hotline. You know, it's not as cool as Batman's. But at the same time, I love Batman, so I can't say it's better. Bruce Wayne got a signal in the air. Can't beat that. But anyhow, get into it. Second segment, the barbell coach. All right. In the weight room, as I'm in the weight room and I'm with multiple athletes, and our sessions range from, as of now, and we're going to get them bigger. You know, we're going to get them bigger. But as of now, our sessions can range from anywhere from three individuals to probably about 8 to 9 individuals. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot going on. And a lot of times when we get to those 9, 10, and upwards, we like to co-coach those hours. And when we're doing it, there can only be our voice. And we let other coaches come in and kind of do their thing. So it's cool, right? If you're a basketball coach, if you're a football coach, and you want to see what your guys are doing, especially when they got the barbell in their hands. But leave it to us.
I don't mind them coming in and watching.
Not at all.
But at the same time, if you're the basketball coach, stick to basketball coaching.
I'm not going to teach anybody how to shoot a basketball better.
But they're there with us to be the barbell coach.
They sit there. So
leave that up to us.
It gets really crazy sometimes. You'll see these coaches. They'll come in, and it's not just coaches. Everybody's concerned. Parents are concerned, and we understand. We really do. But combined experience on this podcast right now, you have about 23 years of training experience between Lauren and myself. And I mean, this is military training experience. This is coaching experience. This is training fitness in Globo Gym. This is training fitness on a smaller scale. Now we've just entered into, you know, the realm of putting together our gym. Like, our gym is formulating and coming along. And I mean, my experience at the college level, where I'm very fortunate, hanging out with these athletes and putting together, I'm not even putting together programs. Their programs are put together by a great coach at Marist, John Clancy. And I'm sitting there and I'm supervising. And as I supervise these programs, which I absolutely... It's so top of the line to watch these athletes go through and then have such good, you know, technique. They focus on it, you know. They but the only voice in that NCAA weight room is John's. John gets the feedback from the athlete, and John decides on what he's going to do. You know, they gave me a little bit of responsibility where I can provide some feedback to some technique stuff. But at the end of the day, you know, it's John's room. He's the head strength and conditioning coach there, so he's the only voice. Now, because we're on the private side, you know, we deal with parents, coaches, this, that, the other, which is great. I want them there. I want them to see the experience, because we'll see kids, you know, 2-3 times a week. And if they're going to get another lift in, maybe another 2 lifts, I want the parents to know what it should look like. But at the same time, in the hour that you're paying for, let us do our work. Let us do our work. And what's really cool, and I love this, and you should be hearing some crunching right now, because Lauren is getting down on some pop chips. Talk about me and some cookies. She's getting down on some pop chips in the middle of the podcast. And we just ate dinner. We already ate dinner. She made a delicious meal, which you'll probably see on the newsletter. Sign up for the newsletter. You might see
this. It's on my Instagram.
Oh, it's already on Instagram. Yeah. Well, way to leave it for the newsletter.
Well, I can share it in 2 venues. It's not a big deal.
Getting back, right? Parents and coaches. They'll come into our studio and they'll tell us how this athlete is going to be the next greatest thing. As LeBron James has walked in. And I sit back and I say, from the experience that we've had, and again, this is 23 years of training experience, we want everybody to be a champion in their own right. You know, be a champion, you know. Win at the local level, win at the state level, win at the national level. Go on and be the greatest thing that you've ever been. And get there by being the better athlete. What we promote out of Kings of Fitness, and every, I'm assuming that every barbell coach out there, every strength gym out there, truly promotes making the better athlete. And that's what we talk about. I'm not comfortable with saying that you come and try our program, you know, you crush our program and you're going to be an NBA player, an NFL player, because unfortunately the DNA has a lot to play with that. You know, if you're going to be 6'6" and 300 pounds and a tight end in the you know, a tight end or a DN in the NFL, I don't know what to tell you. You know, you might not have that in the cards, you might not have that in the DNA, but what we can promise you is making you a better athlete. So we always want athletes to be realistic in their goals. We want them to want to be more flexible, stronger, faster, you know, more power, explosive, those kind of terminologies, those buzzwords. And we can offer that to them. But don't get lost in that big picture. You know, see the kind of focus in on being a better athlete, being a better football player, basketball player, be a better baseball player. Do the things necessary in the gym with your barbell coach under instruction to be better. And that's the thing. Is like, I would love to see that. And we met a high school strength and conditioning coach over at, do you remember that? It was, I think it was New York Military Academy.
Yes.
New York Military Academy, which is cool. Because I'm assuming that's a private school. Is that, do you know? I don't even know.
I think it is.
It might be. Because I don't know if they have strength and conditioning coaches on the local level here, like where we are in Poughkeepsie.
Not.
So we have a couple high schools in the area. And I mean, we
don't.
By a couple. I'm talking, I think I'm surrounded by 5 high schools at least. And out of those 5 high schools, I have not met another strength and conditioning professional in them. Like the colleges. It's like Vassar. Like, I know Vassar has a strength coach. Marist has a strength coach that we work with. We, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on there where these kids are young and impressionable, and they're in weight rooms, because then the kids that we do train, these kids, they find us through these means, these podcasts, the Instagram, the Facebook, all that stuff, the Twitter accounts. They find us, they come and we train them. They get strong, they get big, all that other stuff. But at the same time, when they get in their high school gyms, I honestly worry. I worried so much. I wrote letters to the athletic directors of the high schools in September.
Yeah, because they're amongst their peers. They want to show off. They want to, you know, lift what everyone else is lifting. And the, you know, technique and form and what they should be doing kind of falls by the wayside because, you know, they're in the weight room with their friends.
It makes me very nervous at times. But I get frustrated. I really do. Because I don't want them to get that. And then at the same time, we also have I hate this terminology. Because in the strength and conditioning community, it is such a community. When I have strength and conditioning coaches that I'm friends with from the University of Connecticut. We got out in the University of Arizona, West Point strength coaches that are very everybody's so open and it's a shared community. But when you get down to the local level in the business that we do, you see everything is butting heads in competition, and that's how business works. They want it to be a competition. So I actually promote to our clients to do everything. I say, hey, if you feel comfortable doing a program, I share clients with any program that they're willing to do as long as it doesn't hurt them. If it's going to hurt them, I kind of ask them to shy away from it. They do take my advice, and they take it wholeheartedly. So the thing is, as I share advice, there's bad information that gets out there. And as a barbell coach, I hate when bad information gets out there when there's so much great information out there that's free. So we end up combating a lot of stuff out there. So, you know, using the proper technique, how early should you start? It's crazy. So at the end of the day, strength is a commitment, and results don't come in a day. It takes time. These are years and years of commitments that you're putting to your athlete. So I threw out there that bad information's out there. I like to see athletes start early. And taking an example from our Olympic lifting coach that we work with, Steve Swistak, he's coaching a young lady right now who has to be 11 years old. She's going to compete this weekend.
Phenomenal.
Going to compete this weekend. I mean, a great athlete all around. But she's going to be competing this weekend in Olympic lifting. She's a gymnast by trade. And I mean, here's an 11-year-old who's learning the technique. She's probably not getting pressed to the limits that you would think I would be pressing myself to. But she's learning the technique now, which means that she will always have this in her back pocket. So I say, as a barbell coach, learn the technique, learn it early. Know that ranges of motions are that important, because when you lack those ranges of motion, guess what? You're not going to be stronger. You're going to be that much slower. Your competition is going to be that much better. It's three principles you can't get away, because it's science, right? It's science. So I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. I mean, 37, we're going to probably be around 40 minutes. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Instagram. Check us out on Twitter. Check our show notes. We'll have all those links in there.
What about YouTube?
YouTube as well. We do have a YouTube channel that we put, you know, www.youtube.com/kingsoffitness. Yeah. We're going to be working on getting some videos up there. I'm actually contemplating videoing these podcasts, because we'll give you the video podcast, because for the last 15 minutes, I think Lauren's been eating Pop Chips.
I have not been.
I'm pretty sure she has. The dog sleeping on her lap. The other dog's looking at her. Yeah. And you probably heard the crunch of muncha going on in the background.
Crunch of muncha.
I'm simply responding
to text messages from clients. Mm-hmm. And I
am. And looking at food on her phone as she talks
looking
about.
Looking at food. Yeah. And holding a sleeping chihuahua.
Well, you know.
I don't know that I want a video version.
Well, and the video version of this podcast will not be provided. But future podcasts, I will be looking to get video going on them. Just so you can see what's going
on.
Then
I got to get cool headphones if we're going to do a video.
I do wear headphones while we're podcasting.
I never get the headphones.
I don't think she needs the headphones.
All right, then. So I hope you enjoyed today's podcast.
Yep.
And again, follow us on all those social media avenues.
Yeah, check us out on social medias, and also sign up for the newsletter.
Yeah.
Don't forget to sign up for the newsletter. It's going to be so important. The pro tips are right there. I love talking, as you can see, for 40 minutes I've been talking. But the pro tips are going to be great. The food that Lauren picks out for the week, it's food that she's feeding me. Again, I lost 21 pounds in 4 weeks, not tooting my own horn. It's not something I like to do, but I can't lie to you. I'll toot my own horn all day. But at the same time, it's like, you know, 21 pounds kind of fell off me. It's not something I was really trying to do. It's not something that I was pushing for. It's between the workouts. It's between the Olympic lifts. It's between sitting back and eating the food that Lauren puts forth and really enjoying it. Because if it tasted bad, I guarantee you I wouldn't eat it. Mm-hmm. That was my number one rule. I said, you can pick anything you want, but if it tastes bad, I will go and get something different.
And he has not gotten anything different.
I have not. I have not gotten anything different.
I love food, so trust me. I'm not eating food that tastes bad. It is healthy, but it is delicious.
All right, so to wrap this whole thing up, what did we learn today, Laura? Putting you on the spot.
We learned that.
God. She's looking at the Chihuahua for answers. That's terrible.
No.
Be realistic, please. At the end of the day, just be realistic. It's make realistic goals. It's understand that being a better athlete does not mean you're going to end up in the NBA, the NFL, MLB, stuff like that. Like, that is top 1% of this country. Mm-hmm. But you can be a really good baseball player and get yourself a free education. You know, I say getting your ticket to college, punching that ticket and getting a free education to school right now, as high as those student loans and stuff go, mm-hmm. Holy crap. If you can get a great education, I'm telling you right now, you're a winner. That makes you a winner in my book. Hopefully it makes it, especially if you're playing a sport you love, you get to go to school for free and play something that you love. Good for you. That'd be amazing. So I wish that for everybody we see. And then even like the athletes, the older athletes that come in the door, if you're my age or above and you come in the door and you're one of my athletes, guess what? You walked into the right place. I'm going to be there to motivate you. Lauren's looking at me funny. She knows I'm motivated.
Oh, yeah.
I got two guns on my pocket, right? My fingers.
Okay, keep those in there.
Yeah. Anytime I outperform Lauren, I do like smoking guns. Give her a little smoking gun action. I'm about to give it to her now as we end this podcast. Have a great day, guys.